That's a Tuesday. What do? We go to FHN and the Dial-A-Doc program. And joining us here today, the infection preventionist, clinical quality and professional development, Margie Kochmeyer's back with us again today. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Well, always good to talk to you. Of course, we're talking COVID again, and now we're talking, however, about the vaccine. Tell us about how does the vaccine work? Tell us about it.
Well, vaccines mimic natural infection without actually causing us to get sick. A couple weeks after we take that vaccine, antibodies are produced that will protect us from the specific pathogen that the vaccine was made for. Sometimes people get sick with a disease right after they get vaccinated, and it's not because the vaccine caused them to get sick, but it's because they were exposed and they didn't have enough time to build protection. Antibodies that are built will help us to either prevent or minimize the disease if we do become infected. The immune system includes some immunities that we're born with and then others that we developed when we're exposed to microorganisms. The immune system consists of special organs, and it has types of white blood cells, B cells and T cells, that help us to fight infection.
All right. Well, tell us about, I've heard many things about the T cell. Tell us about what is a T cell?
It's an important part of the immune system, and it serves as a memory cell. It will recognize our own proteins as self, but it will recognize a foreign protein, and then it will destroy the infected cells. Think of a vaccine as an imitation infection. Protection from a vaccine requires the body to recognize the pathogen and then keep making antibodies when they're needed. This is called immune memory. When the imitation infection goes away, the body's left with that memory, that T cell, that will remember how to fight a particular disease. After the infection, the immune system remembers what it learned about how to protect the body against that disease. So the T cell serves as a memory cell that will go into action when the body meets up with that pathogen again.
I know that there's a couple vaccines available right now to fight COVID-19. They're approved for emergency use only. What does that mean?
So emergency use authorization, or you'll see it abbreviated EUA, this allows the FDA to accelerate the use of a drug or a vaccine when we're in a public health emergency, such as a pandemic like we're in right now. Clinical trials for all the vaccines have to show that they meet criteria for safety and effectiveness before the vaccine can be authorized or approved for use. A panel of experts still has to analyze the results from the clinical studies along with evidence on the disease and risk factors, and then they make the recommendations, in this case, COVID vaccine, whether or not it should be used. Consideration for approval has to show that the drug or the vaccine is effective to prevent a life-threatening disease. So it's not just a quick, let's get it out there. It really goes through a rigorous study.
Now, the question is that everybody asks about these vaccines, are they safe?
They are safe. They, like I said, they have to go through the same things that other vaccines go through. They're just accelerated.
Tell us about the vaccines that are available and how are they different?
So there's two vaccines that have been emergency use authorized, and that's Pfizer and Moderna. We've started giving those out to the public. Both of those are messenger RNA or the mRNA vaccines. And the mRNA vaccines give instructions to our cells, and it makes a harmless piece of what's called a spike protein, and it helps trigger an immune response. Once the protein piece is made, the cell breaks down the instructions and gets rid of them. Then our immune system will recognize that the protein doesn't belong there, and it starts to build an immune response. At the end of this process, our body learns how to protect against a future infection. And I know a lot of people are worried about this, but the mRNA does not enter the nucleus, and it does not change our DNA. So now AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson have developed viral vectored vaccines, and Johnson & Johnson will be next up for emergency use. The viral vectored vaccine has small pieces of genetic material from a killed virus. It triggers an immune response. It doesn't replicate in the body, and it mimics what happens during an infection.
Are we able to choose which vaccine we're going to get?
No, you can't choose which one you get. We have to vaccinate with the vaccine that is sent to us from the state, and right now we've primarily had Moderna.
And how effective are these vaccines out there right now?
Well, the vaccines can help us from getting the illness, but know that a vaccinated person can still be a carrier of the illness without symptoms and pass COVID on to someone who's not vaccinated. So for now, masks still need to continue. This is why it's important to continue the mask, the hand sanitizing after vaccination. Pfizer is 95% effective 2 weeks after the second vaccine. Moderna is claiming 94.4% effective after the second, and Johnson & Johnson is coming up with claims of 66 to 72%. It involves only one injection, and it's saying it's 85% effective against a critical illness in the event that you would get COVID after being vaccinated.
We're talking to Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist at FHN on the FHN Dial-A-Doc program. On those first two vaccines, Margie, why do you need a second shot?
Well, the first one starts to build protection, and then the second one, they're believing this is going to help build on the immunity of the first dose and provide the most protection. And I was reading yesterday that Johnson & Johnson, even though they're saying they're going to give one vaccine, is looking at maybe the need to do a second one.
What about the side effects of the vaccines? What have you been seeing, and what are the side effects?
We're seeing a variety of side effects. Some people have no side effects at all. About 80 to 90% of vaccinated people will develop at least one local symptom, and that would be pain, redness, swelling to the arm that was injected. Most systemic symptoms, and that would be fever, fatigue, headache, chills, GI upset, joint pain, are mild to moderate in severity, and they occur within the first 2 days of vaccination, but they resolve in 1 to 3 days. Unless somebody has had an anaphylactic reaction, which would be that life-threatening reaction to the first vaccine, if they get some of those symptoms after the first one, the CDC is saying complete the series, continue with the second one, because taking both will optimize protection against COVID-19. And if side effects happen, you know, the fever, the headache, the arm ache, you can do Tylenol or ibuprofen. Know that the viral stopper of these vaccinations is not made with latex, so there is no contraindication or precaution to the vaccination for people with a latex allergy. And know that the second dose could potentially cause more side effects than the first.
Now, Margie, I've also heard that this virus has mutated and there's new variations out there that are being reported. What about the current vaccines? Do they protect against the mutated virus?
They're saying that Moderna and Pfizer are protecting against two of the three mutations. So right now there is some work going on to get a booster going for that third one.
And how can people find out more about the vaccines and when vaccination is going to be available to them?
If you're looking for information in general about vaccinations, you can either go to the CDC or the Illinois Department of Public Health. FHN.org has up-to-date information, and very soon we will have directions on when the community can start signing up for vaccinations.
All right. And is there an age requirement right now in terms of getting a vaccination?
18 and older.
All right. Very good. And what about in terms of right now, because of the lack of supply, is there an age right now that you're using at FHN in terms of an age of a certain 70, 75 and over, that kind of thing?
No, we are getting all of our staff vaccinated, and I know that the community is going with 65 and older to get those folks vaccinated just because they have so many more risk factors.
All right. Very good, Margie. Always great information. It's important information with this COVID crisis out there. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. We'll talk again soon. All right.
Thank you.
All right. That's Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist, clinical quality and professional development at FHN and the FHN Dial-A-Doc program.